Loved ones, for a second reading, if you wish to follow, I'd like to read from the second epistle of Peter. Second epistle of Peter, chapter number 1. I'd like to read some verses from the beginning with the Lord's help. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I've read through verse number 11. Brothers and sisters and friends, this afternoon hour, we greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Having been fed from his word this morning, we have received loved ones from God himself, his word of life. And loved ones, there is yet an opportunity this afternoon for us to gather and to again hear from his word, his true and living and powerful word. God has been so good, loved ones, to each and every one of us. Today, as we gather here in this place, we have life and breath. We have strength. We have the ability to understand God's word. The word of God tells us, loved ones, that even a child can understand. There are simple things, loved ones, simple to understand, and there are deep things also. Salvation, the plan of salvation, is simple in the following of the teachings of Jesus Christ on how one must be born again. And loved ones, the doctrine of salvation can be easily understood. And loved ones, to live out the life of a believer as each and every one of us brothers and sisters are, it takes effort, doesn't it? It takes a sincere, honest effort each and every day. Because, loved ones, we have this world in which we live, and we read about that this afternoon, that there is so much, loved ones, around us that would distract us and keep us from God's word and keep us, loved ones, from thinking about God's word and living out God's word. And so this afternoon, we have before us a couple of portions of scripture. We read first from the book of Proverbs. I think everyone, many of us, know this chapter, have read through this chapter. We read about the virtuous woman. And loved ones, as we read that portion, you know, the question that the first verse that we read raised was, who can find a virtuous woman? And a second question then begs to be asked, who's looking for a virtuous woman? So So as we gather loved ones this afternoon, this morning we had a beautiful opportunity to witness a wedding. And we heard a lot about husbands and wives, and we heard a lot about raising children. We heard about a godly home. And loved ones, this afternoon, as we think about not for only those that are married, but each and every one of you brothers and sisters, and those that are friends, those that are seeking God, where there are those here, I understand, that are ready for baptism, that will soon go through the ordinance, through the ordinances of being born again by the water and the Spirit. This applies to each and every one. Who is looking for a virtuous woman? Brothers and sisters, I submit to you this afternoon that I think each and every one of us, as Christians, as the followers of God, look for and need a virtuous woman in many different areas of life. Let's start with a baby. A baby needs a mother. And loved ones, all too often in this world, there are those that neglect that most precious duty. Where the children and the newborn babies, you know, they become almost a burden to a family or to a single person. And this is a difficult thing to do. And there's the juggling of child care, there's the career and these types of things, but a virtuous woman, loved ones, is what that baby needs. From the very beginning of life, brothers and sisters, and many of us have been blessed and appreciate godly, virtuous mothers. The child grows a little older. Does that child need a virtuous woman? How about for a school teacher? When that child goes off to school, they spend a lot of hours in the care of someone else, in the teaching of someone else. And however, you know, that's decided amongst the many that are here, the many mothers, the many, many fathers, and the many families. I'm sure that the desire is that there would be, at the head of the classroom, in front of the children, and as teachers, and those that can homeschool and have that opportunity to do so, the blessing is there also, that there would be a virtuous woman leading the class. Loved ones, the time that a child spends learning, but in those formative years, in those precious years, if that's done by a woman, a sister in Christ, a godly woman, those are beneficial hours. And the lessons that are taught and the way that they're taught will last a lifetime. And perhaps some of us can look back and into our past, and we can think of teachers that we've had, those that would stand in front of the class and teach, and perhaps there are those that stand out as good people without any teaching of their own, but just wanting the best for their children, for their class, for their students. Children need a virtuous woman to teach them, to show them. And how much more, loved ones, how much better is it if it is a godly woman that has been born again, that follows God's word and that knows God's word and teaches in the light of God's word in a manner that is supported by God's word. Children grow older, and children turn into young adults. Still need that godly influence at home. Still need that virtuous woman leading the family. Still need the direction of a mother. Then it goes beyond that, doesn't it? The network grows a little larger for a child as they grow older. There's grandmothers and there's aunts. There's friends of the family. Loved ones in that place. And that's the beauty of this of this teaching, loved ones, this afternoon, that all are included in this. And we'll go over it also for us brothers and for men here, that there's teaching of virtue for us as well. But as we go through this, you know, how do you define virtue? It's a moral excellency. It's a godliness. And as much as maybe words would fail me to be able to describe it, we just read it this afternoon as we read through this chapter. Of all the things that this praised virtuous woman did, and the things that she was known for, and the way that she lived her life. The mother needs to be there. A young man, perhaps a believer, is looking for someone to be married to. Young brothers, this afternoon, I'm sure you, as we, you've thought, you know, about if there is a spouse in your future, a wife, a sister that you are to be married to. You think about what God's will is. And loved ones, we know that God's will is that a brother would marry a sister that is in the faith. We know that a brother is to marry a sister that loves God, that follows Him. And that her life would portray some of the things that we've read about this afternoon in this chapter here. Young brothers need, as a potential spouse and as a spouse, a virtuous woman. Brothers and sisters, think about this afternoon. We read the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She's trustworthy. She's trustworthy. You can trust her. And we heard even this morning how a marriage is for life until one spouse would pass. That's how long a marriage would ask. A virtuous woman, loved ones, has committed to that. A virtuous wife. They're in it for the long haul, and they're in it for good. And they're going to live in a manner that she would do good for her husband. There's goodwill there as well. You know, when there's goodwill amongst a couple, in a family, from a father, from a mother, in a community, in a church body itself, when there's goodwill, loved ones, things go so well. Because the desire is not for self, but it is the good of the other. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man. When Jesus came to this earth, loved ones, that is what we heard. That's what we heard. That was a proclamation that was made. Goodwill. God wanted the best for His creation in the sending of Jesus Christ. And this is what He sent. This is whom He sent. His Son, Jesus Christ. That in Him, all nations would be saved. Goodwill. And loved ones also, for each and every one of us, and as we're discussing here, the virtuous woman, there is goodwill. Wanting the best, wanting the good of the other, even to the sacrifice of our own wants or needs. There's always a giving and a wanting. And that plays out through this chapter, doesn't it? We can read about the things that she does for her family. A virtuous woman. We can see, loved ones, that here she's hardworking. And she thinks ahead, and she has foresight, and she's looking ahead to take care of her family. She wants the best for each and every one of her household. She's providing for them clothes in the winter. They're not going to be cold. These types of ideas. And this is God's will. We're reading here in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. And at the end of the chapter, we read, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And today, in the day of grace, in the day of the Lord, the Lord, after the Lord has come, loved ones, and that the Spirit of God has been given to each and every one. And as we read in Peter, where we have been equipped by the Holy Spirit, by this knowledge, how much more can we live according to God's ways and according to God's desires? Who can find a virtuous woman? In the household of faith, loved ones, there are virtuous women, and there will be. And married or single, young or old, alike, the need is there. The need is there. How often can we go out in the world, out throughout our lives, brothers and sisters and friends, and we can see that this world, you know, it isn't full of virtuous women. You can kind of pick them out, can't you? And it's difficult sometimes to find in an outing that you know, you just happen to see someone that you might think to yourself, this must be a good person. The way that a person would carry themselves, the way that they would dress. Perhaps modesty falls into this category of a virtuous woman. And loved ones, we know that Satan is hard at work in the world today. And he's not fond to see those that are sowing salt and being lights in this world. Because that's exactly what a virtuous woman does each and every day. And he wishes to do away with these things. And yet, loved ones, God is faithful. And the Spirit is working, and the Spirit is greater. Greater is he that is within us, brothers and sisters, than he that is within in this world. And let it be evident in the way that you, dear sisters, would conduct yourselves, in the way that you live, in the way that you interact, to know that is important. It's important to everyone here, loved ones, and you know, let's not forget the most important thing. To whom does it matter that a woman is virtuous? It matters to God. And God seeks that and looks for that. Many daughters have done virtuously. We just read that here. Loved ones, and you think about this whole string of things that have been done. This whole the end of this whole chapter is full of examples of what virtue in the life of a woman looks like. You know, there might be people in this world today that have a few of these characteristics. Maybe they're hardworking, and maybe they're driven in their career or in their field. But as a result of that, they might not have such a good personality. They might be a little more greedy, a little more selfish in life. And they might fit one of these characteristics, but not all of them. It's when we have point after point fulfilled in one person that we see the reason that verse was written, thou excellest them all. Important. Another important characteristic of this virtuous woman, loved ones, is her willingness to give. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. What a blessing this is. Again, not considering herself in other portions here, you know, not worried about lack of sleep, but working hard before the sun even comes up, hard at work. It flows through her entire life. Hand stretched forth to the needy, stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Christian giving. loved ones giving to those that are less fortunate, looking for those opportunities. And I love that the part here about, it's interesting that the second portion, it's reaching forth her hands, plural, to the needy. I think of the Good Samaritan, you know, who saw a need and poured himself into the problem and was part of the solution. Someone that passes by and perhaps, you know, feels a touch of remorse or pain for the situation and throws a few coins that way or a few dollars, that's one thing. But the person that reaches forth hands to the needy is one that's willing to completely commit and to help out in a situation. A virtuous woman gives, provides, helps. A virtuous woman is trustworthy. A virtuous woman raises her children in such a way that they arise up and call her blessed and her husband. This is a direct result, loved ones, of living this type of life. And the beauty of it is that God gives it a value. Here we can read, we've read that it's above rubies. Loved ones, how much more in our understanding in the New Testament is this valuable before God? Of great value. God holds it in high regard. Moral excellency, virtue, goodness, perhaps a lot of the fruit of the Spirit that we can read in Galatians 5 fall into that category on how this works together. Loved ones, these are the things that the Lord looks for in the life of a believer. Brothers, for us, there is also a virtue that we need to have. And we read about some of that in Peter that we read this afternoon. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Brothers and sisters, we talked this afternoon about the moral excellency and the virtue and the life of a sister, of those that are seeking God, of those that are the friends of God. And here we have, again, virtue. And loved ones, in this context here, there's a little different meaning. If we think about, if we look up the Greek word, I don't remember what it was, but it has something to do with valor. Something to do with being strong. Something to do with fighting. And we know, loved ones, dear brothers, we fight for the faith. We live in a way that in this world, and there's a lot of opposition. And there's a lot that comes our way. And we'll run into it at work. We'll run into it at school, we'll run into it in different places. Things that push up against the things that we believe. And there needs to be this valor and this ability, with the help of God and to know God's word, even as we read here this afternoon. That if we have these things, we will not be unfruitful. If these things abide in us, if we have this understanding of the word of God, and these things live in our lives, as we read about the temperance and the patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity. If these things are alive in our lives, brothers will have that ability to fight for that which we believe and to continue. Satan will continue to degrade, and he'll continue to work against a believer's life and to try to tear down what God wants to build up. But God is faithful, and we have the promises from his word. We have the promises that he gives us. Having that valor, having that ability and that desire, loved ones, to keep that which he has given unto each and every one of us and not lose it. Our faith and our salvation, brothers and sisters, is the most precious thing to us. And we know that there's nothing that can take it away from us. There's no way that we could lose it unless we walk away. Unless we give it up on our own. There have been many that have gone through difficulties in life. Many that have dealt with persecution that have gone on. And the last few are, you know, aging out now and leaving us. That were able to show us the importance of fighting for what you believe and for keeping the faith. Was just reminded yesterday about a brother who was taken as a captive, who was drafted into the Serbian army, and he suffered for the faith. And at one point he was being led to dig his own grave, and that he would be killed there. He would lie in that grave. And on the way to the place, the company that was to follow him, and he was going to be set as an example for those who don't obey and those who don't go along with the orders of the government at that time, to show them an example of what happens to those, they marched along and they went along with him. At one point he was pulled aside and he was shown, loved ones, and if it was an angel if it was a man, he was shown that he would not die that day. And he would come to no harm. And he came to the place where he was to dig that grave, and they told him at one point to go a little deeper. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, the thoughts and the difficulty that this person was in? Looking at your own grave, standing before it, knowing that in a short time, before you were given the information, the intel, that you were not going to be hurt that day, and to believe that, however that came to pass. And for those that were watching, to see a man that was about to fall dead into his own grave. But loved ones, the valor, the virtue that it took for this brother and for many others that have gone through these persecutions, that have gone through this struggle, that have gone through these things, and have come out strong. God be praised. To God be the glory. It is not of our own selves. It is the power of God. He didn't die that day. If he did, I wouldn't be standing here. there wouldn't have been a wedding today. And many more like him kept the faith, fought, struggled, worked, continued. Brothers, sometimes we don't know how strong we are until we go through difficulty. Sometimes we don't know what we'll do when we come to a time of persecution, a time when our faith is tested. But it is God's will. There comes times and we don't know what lies ahead of us and what tests we'll be facing. When God allows these things to come, brothers, how easily will we give? Or how strong will we stand? We have these promises. We have this divine nature given to us by God. Beloved ones, to work out our soul salvation each and every day, to be exercised therein. And I'm certain that if we leave off actively living out our faith, I'm certain that we'll grow weak. I'm certain that we'll give in. I'm certain that we'll fall without God's intervention. But he wants us to be strong always, to be in his word, to be in prayer unto him. Again, we have a list of things, brothers and sisters, that we can all consider this afternoon. Knowledge, and temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Heard about charity this morning. We heard how it is the bond that holds everything together. It holds a family together. It holds a church together. It holds a community together. And Satan, loved ones, wants to chip away at charity. To be, you know, when a person gets to the point where they don't care anymore, and they have apathy in their lives, and they haven't worked on their walk with God, Satan comes in so easily and can have his way with an individual. Let's be strong, brothers and sisters, in our walk of faith, to walk with him each and every day. One more scripture. You don't need to, if you wouldn't wish to, you don't need to follow along here, but just want to read a little bit from Mark 5. Verse 24, just want to read a few verses from here. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him. This is Jesus going, just for context here, going with Jairus. He raises his daughter, but on his way there. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus coming in the press behind, Let's do that again. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched thee? And he looked around about to see her that had done the thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Another place, loved ones, where virtue is mentioned. Again, perhaps a different meaning, though similar, of the word virtue. We can perhaps use a synonym of power. The power of Jesus Christ. A woman approaches him, and Jesus Christ is being thronged. She's part of that group that's moving along, and she has the faith that if she would touch his garment, she would be healed of her disease, of that which has been with her for so long, that which she could not be cured of. And she has this faith, loved ones, and she approaches him, pushing through the crowd. That must not have been an easy thing for her to do. And yet she was determined to get close to Jesus. She comes up to him and simply touches him. He's being touched all the time. He's being pushed against. There are people that are being pushed by other people that are coming close to him. He's being thronged, the Word of God tells us. But those they're not, they're, the crowd isn't touching him, pushing against him the same way as this woman did. She approached him in faith, and she touches him, touches his garment. And she feels, loved ones, that in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus felt something go out of him. Loved ones, this is Jesus Christ. This is him working the miracles on earth. This is him, loved ones, as we can relate to him, as we can understand him, as a man walking, living as we did, feeling the things that we did. But there's a part here that we don't understand. And that is that virtue, that power had gone out of him. So it cost him something, didn't it? For this woman to be healed, for her to be to have that issue stanched, something happened. It took something out of Jesus Christ. There was a giving as much as there was a taking. The healing came at a cost. This woman had no right to be in that throng that day. Not with the condition that she had. She was to be considered unclean. And yet, loved ones, she had this desire to approach Jesus Christ. And she wanted that power that he had, that ability to heal that he had. And she touched him in faith. The woman, after Jesus asked that question, who touched my clothes? She was in fear and she was trembling. And she knew what was done and she knew what had happened. And Jesus tells her these comforting words, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Dear friends outside of Jesus Christ this afternoon, consider this woman this afternoon. You've sung the songs. You've prayed the prayers in Sunday school. You've learned about Jesus Christ. You've passed by him. You've been taught him. In a sense, you've been exposed to him so many times. And you felt nothing. And you and dear ones, you have this plague. And we know that the plague of humankind, it's the opposite of that divine nature that we read about. We have the nature of Adam, that nature of death. And that this issue, this disease of sin is terminal. But when you approach Jesus in faith, and you come up to him, and you approach him with a new thought and a new desire to be touched, to touch him, and to receive something from him, there is such a great reward for that effort that one would make. You know, dear friends outside of Jesus Christ, this afternoon, what it took for him. You know that it wasn't only for to cover the sins of mankind, it wasn't only virtue that flowed out from him, but it was his own precious blood that can take away the sins of mankind. Blessed are those that can approach Jesus in that faith, with that desire, knowing that there is no place, there is nothing, there's no wisdom in this world, there's nothing that they can read, there's no self-help to get rid of that need, that feeling of that need for a Savior and for salvation. The woman put everything on the line to be able to approach Jesus, and she did. And she had that great reward. Consider, dear friends, not only that power that Jesus gave to this person, but the healing and the overcoming power and the ability to live eternally, to give eternal life to those that approach him in faith, to those that reach out to him and ask him for the living water, and he will freely give. There are many more things, loved ones, that could be taken from these passages that we've read and have meditated upon this afternoon. My prayer would be that the Lord would add a rich blessing to his word.